Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Today we're continuing our series called Games People Play. We're talking about games that you think you used to play, and you did, but maybe you still play and just don't realize. And tonight we're going to talk about red light, green light. How many of you used to play this game when you were a kid? You remember this game, playground kind of deal? Yeah. The thing is, when you were a kid, you loved the green lights, right? But like when the person was in charge would say green light, you'd be like, yes! And you just start running because when you were a kid, this is how you ran, right? This is how I ran when I was... Okay, this is how I run right now. And you'd just be like running and running. And then the person would say red light. And you'd be like, oh, man. Come on, green light, green light, green light. And you're just raring to go. And then finally, you say green light. You just take off and you start running again. And you're blasting through. And you just love the green lights. But something happens to us over the years. And a lot of us can speak from experience with this. What happens is we start to kind of prefer the red lights. Right, we get a little bit older, and the person's like, green light. And you're like, do I have to? Like, I was kind of coming, all right, fine, I guess. And you're kind of going along, and then they say red light, and you're like, whew, dude, that was kind of like a long green light. Could you just shorten that up a little bit? Because green light, seriously? And I just want to see here. And we just start to like the red lights. And I think this game is actually a bit of a metaphor for life. Because I think what happens along our life's journey is a lot of us go from being green light kind of people to being red light kind of people. You know, throughout life, we have our green light moments. You know, we graduate from high school and we start a new job, or we go off to college and it's like, you know, green light. And maybe we set some goals for our life, or we get married. Or we make some New Year's resolutions. We start a diet or start a new job. Or we have this baby. It's our baby. And we're going to be parents. And we're going to be great parents. And it's these green light kind of moments. But we also have our red light kind of moments, don't we? Like we completely forget about our life goals. And they just become something we wrote down once. We cheat on the diet. We quit the job. Our marriage goes from ideal to ordeal to I got a raw deal to we're just going to look for a new deal. We quit the job. That new baby, we go shopping and leave it at the grocery store and don't remember to go back and get him for 3 hours, just hypothetically speaking, of course. And it's like red light, red light. But, you know, when we were kids, we were green light kind of people, weren't you? Weren't you more of a green light kind of person when you were a kid, right? Didn't you have, like dreams for your life? Do you remember what you dreamed about? Like, do you remember when you were a kid what your goals were and what did you want to become someday and what kind of person did you want to have and maybe what kind of family did you want to put together? You were a green light kind of person back then. But something happens over the years and we become more red light kind of people. We lose our initiative. You know, we lose our passion and our enthusiasm, and we become red light kind of people. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe you lost your dream. Maybe you knew that someday I'm going to be an NBA player, but high school came and you didn't even try out for the team. Or maybe you dreamed of someday being a doctor, but you went off to college and your grades weren't that good because you were distracted by everything else, and there goes the dream. Or maybe you had this idea when you were growing up because you hated how your family did life together. You know, there was this dysfunction and people just kind of ignored each other or they fought. And you said, man, someday when I have a family, it's going to be totally different. But now you have a family and you find yourself falling into the same patterns that you had when you were younger. Or I don't know, maybe you grew up knowing God. Like you grew up going to church and you believe that one day I'm going to have God use me to do something in this world. You know, I'm not just going to be one of those people. I'm going to be somebody who like God uses to turn the world upside down. And now you barely volunteer at church. Red light. somewhere along the way, we lose our initiative. We lose our passion. And who knows why? You know, I don't know what it was for you. Maybe for you is that you always had somebody pushing you. You know, they were always just pushing you to do more and do better. And somehow that just kind of irked you. And so finally you're like, you know what? I'm not going to try because I'm just sick of being pushed. Or maybe you had somebody who was always always giving you constructive criticism, but really it just came off as criticism, and it just discouraged your initiative, you know, because you couldn't do anything good enough. No matter what you did, they always found something you could have done better, and eventually you're just like, why bother? Why bother? Or maybe the reason you lost your initiative is because there was always someone better than you. You know, maybe no matter what you did, it always ended up, I'm not good at this either. When I was in high school, I took a weight training class. Like, I figured it'd be good. I'd get ripped, you know. And on the first day of weight training class, they had everybody lift as much weight as they could so they could pair you up. And your partner would be someone that you'd lift with for the rest of the class, but it would be the person who lifted the same equivalent weight that you could on that first day. Well, there was only one other person in my weight training class who could lift what I could lift. Her name was Tiffany. I'm just kidding. But we've all had moments like that, haven't we? Where you got into something, you tried something, and this is going to be my thing, and then you realize, man, everybody else is better than I am. And eventually you just go, why? Why bother? You know, like, why have all these dreams and try all these new things when I'm not good enough? And so over the years, we go from being green light to just red light kind of people. Do you know that the Bible actually has a word for red light kind of people? We've got words for it, I guess. Like we might call red light kind of people slackers or lazy or couch potatoes maybe. But the Bible word for a red light kind of person is sluggard. Just kind of a fun word, right? Some of you are like, really? I thought I was just lazy, but I'm a sluggard? Seriously? But yeah, you're a sluggard. I'm a sluggard. A sluggard is a red light kind of person. Somebody just lost their passion, lost their initiative, and they're just kind of coasting through life. And we all know the only way you can coast is downhill. In fact, there's this book in the Old Testament called Proverbs. And Proverbs is a book of like wisdom for life. Just kind of teaching us how to do life. And the idea of being a sluggard is a theme throughout Proverbs. And one of the things you see in this book is kind of like the downward path, the coasting downhill of the sluggard, where you go from being a red light kind of person to living in the red light district, if you will. And it's just kind of this path. And so I thought I would show you a few proverbs today that talk about the path, the plight of the sluggard. So if you have a Bible, you can open the book of Proverbs. If you don't have a Bible with you, you're totally fine. We put the verses up on the screen, so you'll be good. If you don't own an easy-to-read translation of the Bible, we give them out for free. We got this thing in the back called a Velcro bar, the idea being like Velcro, like that kind of deal. And so it's a place where you can get connected, where you can ask questions, where you can have somebody care for you, pray for you if you need that, and a place where you can get a free Bible. So there's no catch, there's no cost. Just stop by there and grab a Bible. We'd love for you to have one. So what we're going to do is we're going to see like the three steps down the hill for a sluggard. And the first is this. The first is postponing responsibilities. You know, the sluggard is a person who postpones responsibilities. It's kind of the attitude of procrastination is the best form of motivation. You know, it's that kind of thinking. And it becomes red light kind of living. And so let's look at Proverbs chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. It says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit. And scarcity like an armed man. And so the idea here is that when we just, you know, we just kind of postpone our responsibility. Yeah, I should do that, but maybe a little rest first, maybe a little nap first. That when we do that, quickly we start coasting down the hill towards becoming a red light kind of person. So how do we do this today? Well, it's when we say things like, oh yeah, that is important. I'm going to put that on my to-do list. I'm going to get to that. I'll get to that. Or when we say, yeah, no, I'm going to do that tomorrow. After this nap, after the TV show. You know, it's that kind of attitude. I remember when I was a kid, my mother would call in. It seemed like every night there would be this moment where my mother would call in, dinner's ready, can you set the table? And I'd be like in the living room. And so I would call back to her. I would say, in a minute. And she would say, no, set the table now. And I would say, at the commercial. And she would say, set the table now. And I never understood that. I'd always be like, Mom, listen, we're going to eat. We will have utensils. We won't have to use our hands. Our family are still several steps away from having to be cavemen, okay? We're all right. But she never bought that. But you know, today, sometimes my wife will say, hey, dinner's ready, Vince. Will you set the table? And do you know what I say now? At the commercial. I really haven't changed much over the years. It's really sad, actually. Yeah. But it's postponing responsibilities. You know, it's just saying, instead of doing now what I need to do now, I'll just do it later. And it just later keeps on being later. It's waiting till a convenient time to do what I need to do now. Or it's not doing it now in hopes that somebody else will do it. Like if I just ignore it, maybe somebody else will do it instead. You know, it's the family that gets the new pet. And the pet does a little doo-doo in the middle of the living room, and everyone just ignores it, hoping somebody else will clean it up. And everyone knows it's there, but you're like, man, if we ignore it, you know, somebody else will clean this up. And eventually, it's like the family coffee table. There's like coasters and magazines on it. And that's a really funny picture. I'm not sure if I can continue. That's really funny. But I wonder this. I wonder what it is that you use to procrastinate. What is it that you're doing when you should be doing what you should be doing? You know what I'm saying? What do you use to procrastinate? There's an author named Jim Collins. He's a business professor at Stanford University. He's written some really excellent books. He wrote a book called Good to Great, another book called Built to Last. In the book Built to Last, he talks about some of his own personal disciplines, like what he does in his life to help him make sure that he becomes the person he wants to become, because most of us don't. And so what he does, and so he talks about how this one time he decided that he needed to read more, that reading grows you. And so he decided he was going to read at least one book every month. And he made this decision, he made this goal like in the fall. And so one night he was like, all right, I'm going to start on my goal. And he got his first book he's going to read and he opened it up. And then he realized that it was Monday night and it was the fall. And you know what that means. Are you ready for some football? It's a Monday night party. And so he realized, whoa, it's Monday night. And he thought, you know what, I'll just turn the game on for 15 minutes and, you know, just watch the beginning, and then I'll turn it off and open my book. And so he turned on the TV, and an hour and a half later at halftime realized that it hadn't been 15 minutes and he hadn't picked up his book. He was still watching the game. So here's what he did. He called his brother and he said, listen, I don't care what you're doing right now. I need you to get over to my house, and I want you to take my TV. I want you to take it out of my house and never bring it back, even if I beg. Like, I never want to have a TV in my house again because it's keeping me from becoming what I want to become, and so take the TV. Do you know what I call that? Stupid! It's your TV, man! It's football! But I guess it is showing initiative, I guess. And it is an interesting thing because what's going to happen to a lot of us is we're going to ask this question in our lives, and you're probably asking it from time to time in your life now, man, where did the time go? Well, it went watching TV. It went playing video, right? Where did the time go? And then what we eventually ask is, where did my life go? Where did my life go? Right? And so I wonder what it is you procrastinate with. And I also wonder what it is you procrastinate about. Like, what's the thing that you need to start doing that you're just putting off till tomorrow, but tomorrow is always tomorrow? What do you need to do today? What is it? Maybe you need to start a diet. Maybe you need to start volunteering here at church. Maybe it's spending time with God each day where you really spend time and you read the Bible so you know him better and you pray so you pour your heart out to him and really develop intimacy with him. Maybe it's getting out of debt. Maybe you need to go home and just cut up your credit cards. Maybe you have a friend who you love and you need to lovingly confront your friend because they need to hear from you, but you just keep putting it off because, man, it's going to be awkward. Maybe it's continuing your education. Maybe it's a sin that has its claws in you, and an addiction that you have that you need to leave behind, and you know it, and you know the steps to take, but you just keep saying, tomorrow, tomorrow. Listen, the first step towards becoming a red light kind of person, the first step down the hill that makes us into sluggards is postponing responsibilities. It's waiting till tomorrow to do what I need to do today. Here's the second step. The second step is making excuses. It's making excuses. It's the employee who shows up at work and finds out that there's like a lot of work to be done. There's this big project. And so they say, oh, I've actually got something else I have to work on. And they kind of go and hide in their office. It's the student who slips into class at the last minute only to realize that the assignment they thought was due next week is actually due today. And so they say, teacher, I'm kind of sick. Can I go to the nurse? And they just go home rather than face the consequences. It's the person who says, "And Christianity, why would I consider Christianity? Seriously, isn't the Bible just a book full of like myths and legends and contradictions? Like, why would I consider that?" It's the couple with a struggling marriage, but who don't go out on dates because they just say, "And who would watch our kids? Like, we can't do that. I mean, who would watch our kids?" It's just making dumb excuses. And it's the second step in the kind of slippery slope down to becoming a sluggard. Check out what the Bible says about this in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 13. This is a great verse, by the way. This is fun. So verse 13 says, "The sluggard says, 'There is a lion outside,' or 'I will be murdered in the streets.'" So the idea of this verse is that this person has a responsibility. They have somewhere they need to be. They have something they need to do. But what they do is they kind of get on the phone and they say, "Hey, I know I was supposed to come and I know I should, but there's a lion in the streets, and like if I go out there, man, I would surely be murdered. And so I just can't make it. I am so sorry." And we do this all the time, don't we? Just stupid excuses, just stupid reasons to not do what we need to do, right? I got this, I don't know where I got it, but I got this list of actual insurance reports. These are actual excuses people made when they filled out their report of why they had a car accident. Check out these. One person wrote, "As I approached the intersection, a stop sign suddenly appeared in a place where no stop sign had ever appeared before. I was unable to stop in time to avoid the accident." Right. Instead of just accepting responsibility, it's just a dumb excuse. Or check out this one. Person wrote, "An invisible car came out of nowhere, struck my vehicle, and vanished." Yeah, that happened. It just doesn't make any sense. Or try this one. "I pulled away from the side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and headed over the embankment." Now that makes sense. That one I understand. Kidding. Okay, but we do this all the time, don't we? We just make dumb excuses to procrastinate, to not do today what we need to do today, right? And so it's the husband who the wife says, "Hey, would you please take out the garbage?" And he says, "Man, I can't do that right now." Why not? There's a lion in the streets. It's the son who brings home the report card, gives it to dad. Dad says, "Man, this isn't very good. Like, your grades are worse than last. You can do better. What's happened?" And he goes, "Oh, I got reasons, Dad." "Well, what's the reason?" There's a lion in the library, right? Well, it's the person who sits here at Verve and hears us make this announcement, "Hey, we need more volunteers. I mean, if our church is going to keep growing the way it is and doing good things in our community, we need volunteers right now who are learning, who are willing to learn how to run sound, who are willing to be in the children's ministry." And the person at Verve who just sits in the seats and goes, "Man, I hope somebody signs up for that. Sounds like you really need help." And you maybe get this little twinge inside that says, "You're not doing anything. Why don't you do something?" And your thought is, "I can't, God. I can't do that. Why?" There's a lion at the venue, right? There's just nothing to say. All we have are just dumb excuses, right? And they're just excuses we make to postpone responsibility. And it's just this slippery slope we take down to the red light district. And here's what we have to look forward to at the bottom of the hill. If we just keep on postponing responsibility and making excuses, what we have to look forward to is absolute disorder. It's just a life that's just gone out of control. It's a life where we sit and we think, "What have I become? I had these dreams, I had these hopes, these aspirations, but what have I become?" Look at these Proverbs. So Proverbs chapter 19, verse 24. This is somebody who's like full-fledged, they have become a true sluggard. So verse 24 says, "The sluggard buries his hand in the dish, he will not even bring it back to his mouth." Do you see the picture? So this is a person who's hungry, and they have this like spoon, and they put it into their food, but they have lost so much initiative in life. They have lost so much passion that they won't bring the spoon up to their mouth. They're just sitting there like this. And they won't bring the spoon up to their mouth. They're hungry. They want it, but they won't take the simple step to eat, right? And we laugh at that, but come on, it's us, right? I mean, how many of us, it's like, man, all I want is a good marriage. And we know what we need to do to get there, but we just won't take the step we need to do it, right? Or we want to be a part of this church that's a great church and a cool church and a growing church, and we know what we could do to help that happen, but we just won't do what we need to do to get the spoon to our mouth, right? It's where we get when we just lost initiative. We won't do the simple things we need to do to make our lives what they need to become. Check out this this Proverb 26, verse 14. It says this. It says, this is a great picture. It says, as a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. And so the idea is, you got this person who's just so lost their passion that they lay in bed in the morning, and instead of getting up, they just kind of just turn there. And then maybe they have this person who's yelling at them, green light! Green light! Green light! And the person's just like, no, maybe tomorrow, I don't want to get up. And they just kind of keep just turning in bed. And instead of getting out of the bed and living life, what they've done is they've settled for existing. You know? A sluggard is someone who, instead of living life, has just settled for, I'm just going to exist. I'm just going to exist. Is that you? Here's what I bet. I bet that probably almost everyone in this room right now is thinking this. That's not me. It's not me. I'll admit, I've got an area or two. I've got an area or two where maybe I've lost some initiative and I could do better. But, I mean, I'm not like a total sluggard. I mean, that's not me. I'm not a total sluggard. And you know what? You're probably right. I'm sure you're right. Because for most of us, it's not like a comprehensive slothfulness. It's more like a selective slothfulness. You know what I mean? It's not a comprehensive sloth. It's a selective. So there's just areas of our life where we're not giving it the attention it deserves. There's areas of our life where we're not focusing on and we're kind of lost order and things are not where they need to be. We get this idea, one last proverb, Proverb 24, starting in verse 30. But we kind of get this idea. It says this. The guy writing says, I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. Do you get that idea, that picture? What he's saying is, it's like this guy has this great garden. And at first, maybe there's just this one area. Maybe it's the tomatoes, where there's some weeds that start to pop up. But he's like, you know what? I got a great garden. Look at everything else. It's doing great. It just kind of ignores the weeds. But what happens over time is that the weeds just start spreading until eventually, like, the whole garden is just thorns and weeds. And the idea is, for a lot of us, that's what's happened, is we right now, we probably just have this area. You know, this is a comprehensive slothfulness. It's just selective slothfulness. It's just a little area of my life where maybe I'm not living like I should. Maybe I've lost some initiative. Maybe I understand. But if we're not careful, it will spread throughout our entire life, and we will become a sluggard. And even now, even if it's just an area, my guess is it's an important area. You know, this is, I don't know, this is the dad who sets sales records, and he's got a 4 handicap on the golf course, but he fails miserably to provide for the emotional needs of his wife and kids. It's just a selective softfulness, you know? It's the working mom who pours herself into her job and her children, but can't find any time to cultivate her relationship with God. It's the highly relational extrovert who loves people and loves activities, like, bring it on, I will sign up for anything and everything, but doesn't have time to care for their own personal health. It's just selective slothfulness, but it can grow. And the area where you've lost your initiative, it's probably a critical area in your life. And so here's what I want to do. I don't want to push you too hard, but I'm going to push you a little bit. I wonder what your area is. And I would challenge you to try to figure out, where are the weeds growing in my life? In the garden of my life, what's the section where the weeds are growing? And I bet it's an important area, and I bet if you're not careful, you'll find it spread. So let me give you a few options, all right? So like maybe for you it's relationships. Maybe that's your area. And I don't know, it could be with your spouse, your kids, parents, neighbors, co-workers, sibling, I don't know. And I don't know what it is. For you, it might be that something happened weeks ago, months ago, years ago, and it's led to bitterness, and you've had this attitude of unforgiveness, and you've never done anything about it. And the relationship is just deteriorated. And you know that you need to take action. You know that you need to do something about it, but you haven't done anything. And the weeds are growing. Or maybe something else. Maybe you're that person who like pours yourself into your job and you put in extra hours, and when you come home, it's with a briefcase full of work. And so at night, you're checking email and you're writing to-do lists, and you've got this family who you don't give the time they need, the time that they deserve from you. Maybe your area where you become a red light kind of person, maybe it's in relationships, and maybe what you need to do today is hear God speaking into your heart saying, green light, go, do something about it, take initiative. It might be something else. Maybe for you it's your job. For you, it may be that that's your deal, that you are so committed to your job, you're obsessed with it. And it's an okay thing, but you've taken it too far. I mean, you're there all the time, you bring work home, and so maybe the area you need to hear is this, like back off a little bit. It's your job is not everything. Or maybe it's not that. Maybe it's almost the opposite. Do you know, the Bible teaches us, like, for instance, in the New Testament book of Colossians, it says that whatever you do, do it as if you're doing it for God. So when you go to work, you're not working for your boss, you're working for the boss. When you, that's pretty dumb. When whatever you do it for God. And so, like at work, you should be the person. If you are someone who has accepted God in your life and you're trying to do a relationship with him, you should be the person who, like, sets the pace when it comes to character and integrity and work ethic. But maybe you're the person everyone kind of points to and says, look at Mr. Shortcut. I mean, he's the one we cannot depend on. Like, if he does something, we better go back and make sure he did it right. Maybe that's you. Or maybe not. Maybe it's your attitude at work. Like, maybe you're the person that no one can criticize because they know that you just have some sort of, like, bitterness, anger issues. And if anyone says anything to you, it's just like, man, they're going to get it back both barrels. And so instead of leaving the mark of God's love on people at work, you're leaving the mark of your wrath. And so maybe it's your job. Maybe that's the area you've become a red light kind of person and you need to hear, green light, go. Maybe it's not that. Maybe for you it's maybe it's health. You know, I think for a lot of us, when we start thinking about like getting my life right and whatever, we think about relationships and we think about our jobs. Maybe we don't think about our health. But here's something interesting. The Bible teaches us that when you surrender your life to God, that it's not just your soul that you're giving him, but it's your body. The Bible says that when you say yes to God, that you're actually giving him your body. He now owns it. And so the Bible says, therefore, glorify God, honor God with your body. But maybe this is something that you've just kind of ignored and not taken care of. Because part of that, to honor God with your body, means, you know, taking good care of yourself, exercising, eating right. Now, I've got to be honest and state the obvious, because this is an area that I've become a total red light kind of person, if I'm being honest. I moved here 2.5 years ago to Vegas, and when I moved here, I was like 10 or 12 pounds overweight, and since moving here, I've gained about 20 pounds. So you do the math, carry the one. Okay, got it. And that's not okay, because the Bible says I'm supposed to honor God with my body. Here's my problem, if I'm being honest with you. I don't care. Like, I just don't care about it. I don't care about being fit. I don't care if I impress you or not with my body, because I know that I have this undeniable, inner sexiness that just exudes. It exudes, you know. And so I'm like, I don't care what I look like because it's exuding, man. And so I did, and that is serious. But seriously, I don't care. Like, I don't care how I look. I don't care whatever. But that's not okay. That's not okay because the Bible says honor God with your body. And so I've become a red light kind of person. And just recently, I said, man, I can't keep doing this. And so I need to become a green light kind of person. And so I made a commitment. I'm exercising 6 days a week. I'm eating a little better. I've lost a couple pounds, so I only have, like, 87 to go. Woohoo! But maybe it's you. Maybe you haven't been exercising. Maybe you haven't been eating right. Maybe you're in my club. I don't know what we call that club, but we should talk. And maybe you need to hear God say green light about this area of your health, your fitness. Or one last one. And it's the most important one. It really is. Maybe the area where you become a red light kind of person is with your soul. With your soul. Like maybe you've been here the whole time thinking, no, I'm all right. Like I think, you know, like my relationships are pretty good. Job, I think I give it a lot of attention. I'm doing good, but I'm not obsessed with it. I'm pretty good there. And health, you know, I exercise, I eat okay. You know, I could lose a couple pounds, but I'm doing pretty good. But maybe you've been ignoring the most important area of all, which is your soul, your spiritual life, your relationship with God. And probably some of you are thinking, what are you talking about? I'm here in church. Like, how can you say I'm ignoring my soul when I'm here in church right now hearing you, right? But I'm not talking about going to church. I'm talking about a lot more than that. I'm talking about actually having a relationship with Jesus. Having a relationship. Like having a relationship where you are doing life each day with Jesus. Where it's not just something that you go to church once a week, but it's like, no, it's my life. Like every day, like I hear from God and I learn more about God. I read the Bible and I pray, and it's not like saying something before dinner or bed. Like I pour my heart out to God and I tell him what I'm excited about and like what I'm depressed about and what I'm scared about. And I mean, like we are doing life together. That's what I'm talking about. And maybe you become a red light kind of person when it comes to your soul. It could be for some of you that you've always been a red light person. It may be that you've never, like, began a relationship with God through Jesus. Like that's just never happened for you. You know, the Bible has this picture it gives us where Jesus says that I stand at the door of your life knocking. And if you've never said yes, if you never opened the door, your whole entire life, Jesus has just been there knocking, saying, let me in. I made you for a relationship with me. I made you to do life with me. In fact, if you don't have that, then you're never going to be okay. Like, if you don't have that, you're always going to have this mysterious sense of, like, this emptiness inside of you. And it doesn't matter what else you fill your life with. There's always this inner sense of emptiness, and it's because you don't have me. And you're never going to have the joy that you're longing for. You might be happy, but you're never going to have real joy because you don't have me. And so Jesus says, I stand at the door knocking. I'm just inviting myself. Will you have a relationship with me? I made you for it. I want that. You need that. But I'm not going to force it on you. I won't knock the door down. I'm going to let you invite me in. And so maybe you need to hear green light in your relationship with God. Maybe you need to say yes and let him in. There's this principle you see a lot in the Bible that there's no better day than today to begin a relationship with God. Like one of the verses, it says in the book of Hebrews, it says, today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, you don't put it off. And the idea is like, why would you wait? You know, when you know that there is a God who loves you, and is head over heels in love with you, wants a relationship with you, will do life with you, will give you joy and fulfill you, why would you say no to that? Why would you wait? And so today's the day to say yes. And maybe some of you need to say yes today. Maybe some of you are ready for that. We won't push you, we won't force you, but maybe you're ready. And if you're ready, man, I would encourage you to talk to one of us after the service. Talk to me. We have people at the Velcro Bar just waiting to talk to you. They're not going to push you or force you, but they would answer your questions and just kind of walk through that decision. And something cool is we're having a baptism service 2 weeks from today. We're doing it on Sunday and Monday, 2 weeks. And so baptism is what a person does who is starting a new relationship with God. It's sort of like a ceremony where you're saying yes to God, and you have friends and family who are there and kind of get to celebrate that with you. And a lot of people think, well, I'm not ready for that because I have to clean up my act first. And I need to. No. It's the beginning. It's not an ending. It's like the beginning of your journey with God. And so 2 weeks from now, you could take that step if you're ready, and you could say yes, and you could start that relationship with God. You could say green light. Now, others of us, though, I'm guessing, would say, man, I've already done that. I've begun a relationship with God, and so I'm good with that. But here's the question. Like, have you moved since then? Because I think a lot of us, we say yes, and we, woo, and then we just kind of, you know, we just stand there, and God's saying, green light, go. Cultivate that relationship with me. Pour your heart out to me. Read your Bible. Learn about me. Let's do life together. It wasn't just about you saying yes. It was about the journey we're going to have together. And so you need to hear the call of God saying, green light, let's do this. Because, listen, God is not knocking on the door, inviting himself to be a part of your life. He wants to be everything in your life. Not a part. He wants to be everything. And you're never going to be fulfilled until he's everything. You won't. So what's your area? Where are the weeds growing? Where do you need to become a green light kind of person? And here's the good news. I bet some of you, if we're like really honest with each other tonight, I bet some of you would say, here's my problem. You're right. Like, I'm hearing you. You're right. I know my area. I know what I need to do. Here's the problem, though. I can get all excited tonight, and I can make a decision, and I can start whatever, but I'll stop. Like, I've done it over and over in my life. Like, I get all excited, and I make these goals, and I make these decisions, and I don't follow through with it, and I just become a red light kind of person again, and so I guess I'm doomed to be a sluggard, and because I'm not going to do it. But here's the good news. You do not have to stay that way. You may have a long history of being a red light kind of person, but you don't have to stay that way. Because you have a God who loves you, wants to have a relationship with you, and wants to help you be a green light kind of person. And so it's like, Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Pretty good, right? Not so much, all right. Do you want me to keep going? Anybody? Yeah? All right. Thanks. Thank you to those who said yes. I want to talk to you after the service. I can autograph something. But you don't have to be a red light. You don't have to put on the red light because you have a God who wants to come in your life and help you live the life that you dreamed about when you were a kid. Help you to become the person you really need to become. You know, we call this church Verve because the word Verve means enthusiastic, passionate, vital, vivacious life. And that's what God wants to help you towards. And Jesus said, I have come. John 10:10 says, I have come that you might have life. And have it to the full, like abundant life, green light life. And God will help you if you ask him. And so maybe you've never been able to be kind of maintain that and be that kind of person before, but were you doing it on your own? Because with God, you can do this. You can do this. You really can. So here's what we're going to do. We do this every week. We give you a couple minutes to wrestle with this and to pray about this if you pray. You maybe got dragged here today and you're like, I don't believe in God, I'm not praying, then don't pray. You can just think about this. But for the rest of us, it's a chance just to go, okay, what do I need to do with this? Because here's like what would be the worst thing to me is if everybody leaves and says, good service. Good service. Hey, good service tonight. Who cares, right? Who cares if it's a good service or a bad service? What matters is, do we move closer to Verve, to life, right? Do we move closer to God? And so what are we going to do with this? What are you going to do with this? What's your area where the weeds are growing, where you become a red light kind of person, and you need to become a green light kind of person? And what steps will you take? And ask God for help. He would be glad to help you. Okay? So we're going to give you a couple minutes to pray. The band's going to come back up now. They're going to do one last song, kind of give you some music to pray to and think about. And during this time, we also make communion available. It's on the tables with the candlelight. And communion is a piece of bread. It's a cup of juice that represent the body and blood of Christ. And it's a way that we can remember that Jesus gave up his life so that we might have life. That Jesus went to the cross to help us become the kind of people we need to become. And so that we could have the relationship with God that is the only thing that's ever going to fill that emptiness inside of us. If you take communion tonight, if you're not ready for it, if you're like, whoa, like you're going way over my head, don't worry about it, just stay where you are. But if you want to get up and take communion, bring it back to your seat. If you take communion, I would encourage you to do this tonight. Hold that piece of bread, hold that cup, look at it and think this. Man, God's a green light kind of God. You know what I mean? Like God could have sat in heaven and he could have postponed his responsibility. He could have said, you know, I should probably send Jesus, but I don't know. I don't want to. Maybe tomorrow. God could have made excuses. He could have said, I could send Jesus for him, but they're not really worth it. I mean, they screwed up and, you know, and I don't want to be apart from my son. But he didn't make excuses. God did what he needed to do for you. And so as you hold that, maybe think, man, God is a green light kind of God who wants to make me a green light kind of person. All right, so let's pray. God, I don't know where each of us has lost our initiative, lost our passion, kind of slowed down and become red light kind of people, but we all have an area, I'm sure. So God, I pray in these next few minutes you would help us to wrestle with this, sort this out in our minds, that you would speak into our hearts, and you would show us the place where we need to hear the call, green light. Yeah, maybe it's in our relationships with our family. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's our fitness, our health. God, maybe it's our relationship with you. Maybe there's some people in this room tonight who need to say yes to you for the first time and need to tell someone, need to go to the Velcro Bar and tell someone, need to sign up tonight at the Velcro Bar for the baptism service coming up. Maybe some of us have done that, but we need to start cultivating that relationship and really living the life with you that you have for us. God, would you speak to us and help us to know what it is? And God, thank you for Jesus, that he came for us, that he heard the call of green light and he went. He left heaven and went to the cross for us. And we thank you for communion. It's just a tangible reminder of that. And God, I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.